Well, been 3 years since I've been up here to share with you all. What a joy to be back for Susan and for me. And thank you for your very, very warm reception to us. We look forward to getting to know those of you who have joined with us here at CIC in the last 3 years since we have gone. And so come and introduce yourself to us if we haven't met you already. Look forward to seeing you. We all have a need to grow, right? Growth is really important in just about every area of life. We see it in our families. When we were earlier in our years here in Singapore, we had three sons. Our youngest was born here, and they looked like that. And now they're a bit older. All three of them in their 30s now. The two older guys are married with kids, and our youngest just got married about a little over a year ago. And so now we are blessed with three sons, three daughters-in-law, and three grandkids in three states. And we still believe in the Trinity as well. That's three, right? So our youngest, our first grandson was Jesse, 4 years old now. Our second is Nora. She's a little knockout, a little two-year-old knockout. And then Caden just had his first birthday. So it's a joy to be grandparents from afar. And this wonderful thing is our middle son is a pilot with United Airlines, which means we get to fly wherever we want with United. Doesn't cost us anything. We just are able to go there and go to the airport and sign up on the online. It's kind of fun. We're back here in Singapore now to see you. Two birds with one stone, really. Is it? We're pleased to be here at CEC, and we plan to be here this week and next week, and then we fly back to Jordan a week from tomorrow morning. But we're also privileged to represent what God has done through ICS. Some of you know about International Community School, that we were privileged to be able to help start back in 1991, right in our first couple of years here, where we helped get that thing going. And it's just wonderful to be able to see things grow, isn't it? We expect to grow personally. We certainly expect to grow in terms of our bodies and all that. And fortunately, we don't continue to grow. Maybe I look like I've grown a little bit right here since we were here. We're not supposed to keep growing physically our lives, but physical growth is natural for it to sort of slow down and stop, hopefully. Otherwise, we'd just be... Okay. There we go. I think that's better. Yeah, that feels a little bit better. There was a study done by George Barna, who's famous for doing these surveys some years back, and he did a survey of evangelical Christians in the U.S. He discovered that only 8% of Christians have been discipled by someone else, and only 2% of Christians have discipled someone else. No wonder why we have so many struggles with growth, and yet it's... this is what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to be, you might say, expanding. Are you expanding? I don't mean like that. I don't mean physically expanding. Are you expanding in terms of your spiritual life? In other words, are you trusting the Lord for new things? I know some of you have taken on some new challenges. But I wonder, think of your own life. What avenue of maybe of ministry are you doing right now that you have not done before, that you're trusting God to help you with in a new way? Can you think of something like that in your own life? Can you think of something that you didn't do previously but now you're doing, and God's kind of opening up your ability to be able to trust him in a new area? How can we actually do that? How can we actually do that successfully? This is something I've been thinking about in recent years, and in particular relating to the Apostle Paul. So today we're gonna see that what happened with Paul after his first missionary journey, where he was reaching what we would call kind of a southeast Turkey, and his second missionary journey, where he extended all the way over to Greece. That's a lot of ministry area for one guy. But in reality, we're going to pick up the account on the third trip of Paul, where he was on his third missionary journey, and he was there in Corinth, and he felt like God still wanted to expand his ministry, enable him to do more for the Lord, and so he set his sights farther west. And he wrote this letter to the Romans to get some assistance in his journey, not just to Rome, but even farther than that. So we're going to look at Romans 15, the verses that we read earlier, the end of the chapter. And what I want us to do is I want us to think in terms of three ways that we can expand our borders. What are three things that you can do that we can get from this passage that will help you to see how God may want to use you in maybe ways you haven't really thought about? So today's passage is going to talk about expanding our borders, expanding our boundaries in terms of what the Lord wants to do in our lives. And here's the first thing I find in this passage that Paul mentions that really has helped me, and that is to know God's calling for you. I like to ask people, what is God's calling for you? Why did the Lord put you here? If you ask that question to Paul, Paul would say, it's Gentiles. Here's this guy from this amazing Jewish background, and yet God called him to reach those who were not Jews. His calling was for Gentiles, to reach them with the gospel. As he says here in Romans 15, verse 14, I'm fully convinced, dear brothers and sisters, that you're full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other about them. And even so, I've been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. For by God's grace, I'm a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. Paul knew what God's calling was for him. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. And yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. And this way I fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. Now you should look at that and say, well, where's Illyricum? Well, Paul had ministered from Jerusalem all the way to what we would call modern-day Yugoslavia, where Illyricum was. But Paul is such a great example for us, because even though that's a huge area, Paul said, no, God wants to do more through me. He wants me to go to Rome and get help from the Romans to bring the gospel even farther west to Spain. And so he says, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I've been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures where it says, those who've never been told about him will see, and those who've never heard of him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I've been preaching in these areas. I love Paul's attitude here, don't you? Paul's saying, what can be done for Jesus that other people haven't done yet? What can I do that someone else hasn't done, and the name of Jesus can be proclaimed, and God can use me in a way that I haven't maybe really thought about before? I love that attitude, and I really want to have that attitude myself, and I trust you do as well. Now, Paul wasn't involved in starting the church at Rome. He actually doesn't say how the church started. We don't really know, but we know in Acts 2 that there were, 15 or 16 different areas that were represented at the day of Pentecost. People came from all these different places, including Rome and Crete and Arabia and all these places. And it was probably people who were from Rome that went to Pentecost, came to know Jesus, and then brought the gospel back to Rome. But we actually don't, we can only kind of guess there in terms of how that works. When I think of this, I think of our agency that we're sponsored by, World Venture, that has this vision to go and do things in areas that hasn't been really reached very effectively yet. For years, I served at Singapore Bible College for 30 years on faculty there. It was a privilege to have students from all around Asia in my classes. I taught in different areas, four different areas, actually. I taught Bible survey, Bible backgrounds, theology, and preaching, especially. And it was a joy to be able to share the gospel with them and help them to understand the gospel better. These are all, of course, all believers that have come to the Bible College, and to send them out. And then to do that also on my own. I've taken 73 trips throughout Asia during these years to do that. Why? Because that was what God's calling was for me. That was God's passion that he put on my heart. Now, it's not going to be the same for you. But I wonder if you know what it is for you. What's your passion? If I was to ask you, why has God put you here on earth? You have a unique background that no one else has. And he has a plan for you to use you in a way that no one else on this planet actually can do. Do you know what it is? Could you, if I asked you, could you articulate that? Yes, it's this. For me, it's God has given me the passion and to train pastors in Asia who can know the Word of God and tell their people. That's basically what my calling and my passion was. Paul's it was Gentiles. I'm going to focus on those who are not Jews and help them understand the things I know. Would you be able to say what it is for you? Part of that might be, that answer might be related to your spiritual gift. I've taught a fair amount on spiritual gifts. And from 1 Peter 4:11 and Romans 12, I've put them in two basic categories here, of speaking and serving gifts. You see 9 gifts listed up here. Could you look up there and say, ah, that's mine. Yes, evangelism. That's definitely evangelism. Or service. Oh, yeah, God has really called me to service. Do you see your gift up there? I'm just going to just do a little survey here. How many of you see your gift up there? I'm not going to ask you what it is, but how many of you see it up there? Just raise your hand. I'm seeing about half of us, half of us. So my prayers for the ones who didn't put their hands up. Think in terms of that, and maybe you can get some extra help on this if you want on my website. There's a whole sections on spiritual gifts, so I'd encourage you to do that, to look at that on the website, and I'll tell you more about that later. So Paul says that to expand his own borders, he actually needed to know what God was calling him to do. And he said, it's Gentiles. And for you and for me, we need to know God's calling for us, not just to salvation, but to service. But Paul goes on and he talks about how God can expand our borders when we support God's new directions. We need to be involved in doing that which is new and trusting God for that which is new. So he goes on in verse 23 and following. But now I've finished my work in these regions. And after all these long years of waiting, I'm eager to visit you. I'm planning to go to Spain. And when I do, I'll stop off in Rome. And after I've enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. So Paul tells him about his plan. He would like to go from Rome to Spain. Of course, he's over in Greece at this point. But he says, well, I can't do that just yet, though. I have an important thing that God has called me to do. I need to go actually to Jerusalem first. Before I come, he says, I must go to Jerusalem to take the gift, a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have, this is our modern Greece area, have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles receive the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least they can do is to return, is to help them financially. So Paul says, yes, I'm coming to Rome, but I need to go the opposite direction first. I need to go over to Jerusalem, and then as soon as I've delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain. And I'm sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. So after Jerusalem, he's going to go to Rome. That was his plan. He actually did do that, but the book of Acts says he did it, but under Roman sponsorship, as he was actually a prisoner. And then from there, the plan was to go from Rome over to Spain. So Paul had a way that the people could be involved. They could support what he was doing. And I think it's good for us to trust God for ways that he can support and we can support what he's doing in us as well. As I think of this, I think also of how Paul has been such a great example for me. To be looking forward, always be looking forward. So some expansions for us, this is how God used this passage in my life, actually, and Susan's life, because we saw that Paul was in the Eastern Roman Empire for 30 years, and then he went to Spain. Well, we served in Singapore for 30 years, and then God brought us to MENA. You know what MENA means, right? This is a new acronym, MENA, that's Middle East, North Africa, basically the Arab world. And so what the Lord has done for us is he's brought us from Singapore all the way across the Indian Ocean over to Jordan. And we've been there for 3 years. It's been a privilege to have in my classes. I'm teaching at Jordan Evangelical Theological Seminary, much like Singapore Bible College, except with 22 countries in the Middle East, except for 20 instead of the 22 countries that we were serving here. And this is just one class here where my students were from Jordan, Sudan, Chad, Egypt, Spain, speaking of Spain, Morocco, Syria, and Dubai, and then also Iraq and Israel. So those are students just from one course. And it's a privilege to be able to support what God's doing there at Singapore Bible College, or in Retri as well. The one from Retri is now my translator. I'm teaching at JETS, or Jordan Evangelical Theological Seminary, and we're trying to support God's work there, and you guys are being faithful to support us. CIC actually pays most of our rent there in Amman, and we're so grateful to you for your generosity to help us to serve there. But we encourage you to be continuing to support God's work in many different areas. And I'm thrilled to see how CIC continues to be a blessing in many different areas to the nations from this congregation. If you want to stay a little bit more in touch with what we're doing, feel free to grab one of our little cards there at one of the tables as you're exiting, and pray for us. And we're trying to send our letters to you, but if they don't actually reach you, you want it directly, you could sign up for that as well. Just get a card system from us. And I've been trying to think, how do we actually do this? How do we actually get the gospel out farther? One time I did a survey of my students to find out what they did with the research papers that I had assigned to them, graded, bloodied up with red pen. You know, that was before I realized you're supposed to use green pen, I guess, and given it back to them. And I found that their filing system looked like this. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. And I noticed, you know, Jesus didn't have his guys write research papers. Maybe I should learn from Jesus. And I was exposed to this ministry called The Bible Basically. And it showed me really a better way to assign projects. This is a ministry that has gone in different parts of the world that was designed by Dr. John Fryman. And the basic idea of this, the Bible basically, is to go through the whole Bible four times in 10 hours. Now, it's actually six times in 10 hours. You can go through this. So I decided, okay, I'm going to have my students, instead of doing research papers, I'm going to have them go ahead and translate this seminar into a variety of languages. And I discovered that my students were speaking many languages I didn't even know about. And it's ended up so that we have this whole series now of slides that give you an overview for the whole Bible. It's actually gone into, I think we just finished 10 languages fully. For example, we finished the Bahasa Indonesia. Vietnamese is still working on it. The Chinese is finished. And, of course, Arabic was just finished. Just a few more slides, I guess. A few more things to do in Arabic. It was basically finished. This is about 945 PowerPoint slides that bring you through the whole Bible. It's a workbook and a teacher script. And thank God that we have it in 10 languages now. So the basic idea is to take these things, what we know and learn in one language, in English, and then get them in the other languages as well. So I'm trying to think about how can we actually reach out in more areas. And I encourage you to do that as well, just as Paul did. As an individual, are you supporting God's new directions? Or are you stuck in a rut of what, you know, you think you should do? Well, we've always done it this way. If so, pray that God would help you to say, you know, Lord, what might be on your radar that's not even on my radar? I'll admit to you that going to the Middle East was never on my radar. I never even considered it. I thought we were going to be here in Singapore until we retired, but God had other plans. Maybe he does for you too. Maybe he has something in mind that you've never, ever thought about. If I could interview, I'd love to do that for each one of you and just find out, what have you not thought about? You know, not that I know. The Lord would have to know. The Lord knows, and he'd have to show you. Part of it relates to perhaps what you can do right here at CIC. And maybe one of these areas of ministry is something that you say, boy, that would be a faith venture for me to do that. Maybe that's the very thing that God has designed for you. I don't know. And I'd encourage you to talk to Pastor Monica or Pastor Jim about what the Lord might be putting on your mind. But a lot of times it's something that we really haven't thought about. And for me, I always thought, well, I'll speak in English, and my students, they know Bahasa Indonesia, or they know Chinese, or now they know Arabic. I'll tell you what I never thought is that I would actually be learning Arabic in my 60s after being here from age 33 to 63 and then going to Jordan at that point. But God's a pretty creative God, and I never thought about putting a website together. I don't know much about this web stuff. I'm fortunate, or my oldest son knows the intricacies of how to do this, but I never dreamed of having 101,000 PowerPoint slides in English on my website and another 200,000 in other languages. I never dreamed that I would ever begin to learn Arabic. And believe me, don't think that we're fluent in Arabic or anything like that. We certainly aren't. But I do know the letters, and I do know maybe 1,000 words in Arabic now. And I know how to read this. Any of you know Arabic here? I don't think so, right? This says, Dr. Rick Griffith. That's what it says on my name tag at my office there. And it's a joy. It's a challenge. It's something that's definitely new for us. I use a Duolingo, and we've had a language helper to help us learn Arabic, and of course, learning from my students. And I have 8 translators. I've got a lot of helpers to help me to do this. But it's fun to be kind of learning it a bit on my own, and it's definitely a challenge. I think tomorrow is day 400 in my my Arabic, on my little app on my phone. So I think God really wants to expand the borders for all of us. But we first have to know what it is. That is, know His calling and be willing to try out what God is saying to you, to support God's new directions in your own life and in the lives of others. And the third thing that Paul mentions here in this passage is pray against opposition. If you want to expand your borders, there's no way that's going to be successful apart from really coming before the Lord, realizing you have an enemy, and resist him in prayer. This is something that God really worked in Susan's, in my life, especially when our sons got to be teenagers. It really helped our prayer life. You know, that was 20 years ago when they were teenagers, but teenagers are great to help us for prayer life, aren't they? Well, Paul says at the end, he begins talking about prayer here, and he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit." And then he gives them specific things, 2 specific things to pray for. He says, first, pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. So there's Paul's prayer. Pray for my protection. By the way, the Lord answered that prayer. He could have been killed when he went to Jerusalem, but he did make his way back to Rome and answers to their prayers. And then he says also, pray also that the believers there, that are in Judea and Jerusalem, etc., will be willing to accept the donation I'm taking to Jerusalem. I find that interesting. Pray that they'll take the money. Okay. Most people don't have a problem taking money. But he says, then by the will of God, I'll be able to come to you with a joyful heart and will be an encouragement to each other. And now may God, who gives us his peace, be with you all. Amen. So Paul says, pray for my protection and pray for the expansion of the ministry to the Gentiles, but the Jews will also be accepting that partnership between the Jews and the Gentiles. And so I've got good biblical support here to ask for the same 2 prayer requests. Protection and expansion. Can I ask you to pray for us as Paul asked his churches to pray for him? Pray that we will be protected. Susan has said to me many times, you know, it's a good thing we don't know what's happening because we're probably more vulnerable than we realize. For one, we're around a lot of people who hate Israel. This is a picture of a garbage can. These are all over Jordan. They spray paint the Star of David on the garbage cans. It tells you what they think of Israel. Pray that God would protect us in a place where, see, we don't hate the Jews. We don't hate the Arabs either. Why? Because God loves the Jews and God loves the Arabs. And we really need to, for God to use us to help change the mindset of the people there. We thought it was just the non-Christians who hated the Jews before we got there. And we've learned that's not actually the case. But many believers have that struggle. But I'm filled with joy as I'm sharing on my classes the Word of God and see God change their hearts. And I'm seeing this hatred for Israel in my classes really subside. God's working. Pray also for the expansion. So protection and expansion. You can remember those 2 words, right? How expansion? Well, it's challenging for the gospel to expand in a poor country like Jordan. And wherever you go in the Middle East, pretty much in every country there's oil, except for Jordan. And so Jordan is really challenged. It's a very poor country. It's mostly not really big population-wise. It's just, Jordan has about 10 million and Singapore is 5.6 million. So, yeah, almost twice the size and population of Jordan. But it's been disappointing to us to see that the condition of the church is pretty sad. There's not that kind of vibrancy and unity among the churches that you find here in Singapore. So pray that God would actually change that. There's a lot of fear, and I think understandably so, of the majority religion. People who turn from that to Jesus are given all kinds of encouragements to leave the country. They're not allowed to legally do that and not allowed legally to share their faith. For us to move to Amman, actually Amman is, just have it superimposed over Singapore. You can see both of those cities are about the same size. But of course, Amman is just one part of Jordan, and Singapore, I don't think I need to tell you, is a small place, right? You could fit 124 Singapores in the country of Jordan. So people ask me, is it different being in Jordan compared to your years in Singapore? I say, yeah, slightly. Just about every way you can think of. For one, Singapore is number one in the world in competitiveness. Did you know that? They're not so competitive in Amman, which frankly is kind of nice, actually. I like that. Doing business, Singapore is the number two country in the world to do business. Jordan is number 75. That means things move slower. In terms of exports, Jordan only exports $9 billion of goods a year. Singapore exports $457 billion a year. And then in imports, Jordan imports $21 billion and has a huge inequity there. We're importing a whole lot more. Why? Because one-third of the country are refugees. And a lot of stuff has to be brought on into the country where Singapore doesn't have that problem. $406 billion a year imports. So stuff just coming in and out of Singapore in a way that we don't see happening there in Jordan. Very different in terms of defense. 33% of the government, the money is spent on defense in Jordan, whereas it's only 16% here in Singapore. Per person, that's about $1,000 per year per Jordanian, whereas Singapore spends $13,000 a year for each one of you to defend you. Singapore is a much more vibrant place. In the S&P index of doing business and finances, Jordan gets a B+. Some give it a B-. Singapore gets a AAA rating. And part of that is because people here really, really are working. Only 2% unemployment. Jordan has nine times as much, 18% unemployment. So we have half a million people unemployed. Singapore only has 58,000 people unemployed. So it's a very, very different place. Climate, of course, is very different. Actually, we're enjoying that. We enjoy the living in the tropics all year round, but we also enjoy variety too. And we found that whatever the differences are, God still gives us look at these differences as opportunities rather than struggles. And so, to be honest, it's quite a privilege to be there, and we invite you to come, and we can show you around a little bit. The vision that we have seen here at CIC has been threefold. We've been talking about this for many, many years, to love God, and then from love of God to extend out to love the church, and then to love the nations. It's been a thrilling thing to see that continuing to happen here at Crossroads. You probably can't really even imagine the sense of joy I have to be with you today and to see what God has continued to do. It was clearly His leading to expand our borders to be able to leave CIC and to leave Singapore 3 years ago. But it's a joy to be back. It's a joy to just be here for a week to see what the Lord has done. And I want you to think in terms of how the Lord has done this in your own life, though.
So I'm going to see if I can sum up what Paul's saying here and say it this way. Expand your borders by knowing his call. Do you do that? Do you know it? Supporting it. And then praying against enemies. Know, support, pray. Know God's calling for you. Could you articulate that? Here's what God wants to do through me in his calling for me. Support God's new directions. Do you know how God wants you to be involved in the calling of others? And pray against opposition. I'm encouraged to see that prayer is stronger here at CIC than when I left. I'm thankful to Brother Jim and Jackie to help strengthen prayer here. And we thank you for praying for us as we pray for you. And I know one of your big prayer requests is that pray that God will provide the right person, couple, that will help bring the ministry forward. And we continue to pray with you on that one. And let's pray actually about that right now. All right, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for what you're doing here at CIC. I thank you that you're always working. You're always expanding us. You just never give up on us. You never want us to just get stagnant and just get still and stop in our venture of faith. You want us to just continue to keep growing in faith. That's the kind of God you are. And I pray that we would recognize that, and we'd be encouraged about that, that we'd be excited about what you're doing in the lives of others in this church and in our own lives. And in particular, we pray, Lord, that that would continue here at Crossroads, that you will give the search committee, the pastoral search committee, your wisdom to think in maybe outside the box that they haven't thought yet in terms of how you want to continue this good work that you began here in the days and the years ahead. We thank you for what you've already done. And we pray, Lord, that you will provide that leadership for the days, for the years ahead until Jesus comes. In his name we pray. Amen.